Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. Our sermon text is taken from the 9th chapter of St. Matthew, the last three verses, 35 through 38. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were troubled and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers into his harvest field." Dear children of God, blessed with opportunities to tell people the great works of our Savior, Jesus Christ. While we can't see inside a person's heart, often the actions of that person will show us the heart. You know, if a person is considered to be generous, kind, willing to help others in their time of need, we might say that person has a big heart. Or if a person is said to be a softy, a sentimentalist, we might say that person has a tender heart. If a person is cruel, not kind to others, likes to see people in situations of distress, we might say that person has a cold heart. What word comes to mind when we think about a person who is said to have a mission heart? Now, the mission to which I am referring is the mission which Christ has given to each one of us, to tell more people that He is their Savior from sin. What word comes to mind? Now, there's a clue in our text. There was a word which described our Savior Jesus. He's said to have compassion on the people. You see, Jesus' heart ached for the lost. As we know, Jesus did everything to help save the lost. So as we think about the gift we have, faith in Christ Jesus, to understand He's our Savior from sin, as we understand that our Lord has directed each of His children to tell more people what Christ has done, it's good for us to understand that a mission heart has Christ-like compassion. First, we're going to see that Christ shows us what compassion is. Then we're going to note who needs compassion. Our text starts, when Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion on them. We're hearing a lot about that word. I looked it up in the dictionary, and the meaning is for one to have the liver, the heart, and the lungs move. Those organs are considered the seat of one's feelings. When you have compassion, they move. You have the greatest pity for someone else. Now, you just heard what I said. But does that really give a good picture of what compassion is? For us to better understand compassion, we're going to look at two parables. The first parable is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Do you remember that parable? Remember when there was a man walking down a road, then he's attacked? Robbers beat him, steal his possessions, leave him for dead. Then two guys come along and they walk right past, don't bother to help him at all. Then there's the third person who comes along. And as he comes along, he sees the need of that individual. He attends to those needs, bandages the wounds, puts him on his donkey, takes him to a location where he can receive additional aid. Here's how that individual is described. When he saw the man, he had compassion on him. You see, his heart opened to the needs of that individual, and he did whatever he could to help that person. It's interesting when you think about the physical needs of people. Certainly we are to address them. Our Savior Jesus Christ did that again and again. As you think about the four Gospels, you can see where Christ often is helping people in their needs. Just as an example, as you start in the 8th chapter of Matthew and go through the 9th chapter, we have these situations. Jesus heals a man who has leprosy. Then he healed a centurion's servant. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. He calmed a storm. He healed a man who was paralyzed. He raised a ruler's dead daughter. He healed two blind men. And then finally, there was a demon-possessed mute man whom Jesus also healed. You go through these scriptures, and certainly you see the compassionate acts of Jesus for the physical well-being of individuals. There's a second parable that helps to bring out what compassion is. The parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the lost son. Remember that parable? The younger son comes to his father and says, "Give me my inheritance," while his dad's still living. His father does. Off he goes. Spends that money in sinful living. Finally, the Lord brings him to his senses. He returns home. Remember how the father is pictured in this scenario, in this scene? Jesus says, "When he saw his son, he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." Why those deep emotions? Why those feelings displaying themselves? Well, later the father told the older son, "But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Now, think again about our Savior Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. He had compassion for this lost and condemned world. We see his mission heart in his compassionate action as he came here to take care of what you and I, we could never handle, the enormity of our sin. You see, as Christ looked on this earth, he saw each one of us and he understood each one of us could never satisfy God's righteous demands. God says, you and I, we are to be holy without sin. We are to do his will every day. Try as hard as we could. You know, be fervent in prayer every day. Say, "This day I am going to be the kindest person possible to my wife, to my husband, to my children, to my neighbors, to my family. I am going to do and try to be the best person ever." And if you'd be honest, at the end of the day, maybe outwardly you were kind, but did you have a thought that belittled someone? Did you have a word which wasn't as kind as it could have been? You know, we go through our day-to-day existence and it's very apparent. We can't satisfy God's righteousness. Jesus Christ saw that. In compassion, he came to this earth. He put himself under God's law. Brothers and sisters, he lived for you and for me. He kept the law for us. He didn't just stop there, though, did he? He allowed himself to be put on a cross where Jesus, that holy Lamb of God, that sinless individual, took the sins of the world upon himself, making a once-for-all payment. Yes, Christ's heart went out for us, and it moved him to do everything God required, so that now you and I, through faith in Christ, sins forgiven, that beautiful relationship with the Father, knowing and understanding one day God is going to take us home to heaven thanks to what Christ has done. We look at Jesus and he shows us what compassion is. Jesus also shows us who needs compassion. You know, he went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I'm sure your ears caught that again. His physical compassion, healing every disease and sickness. But now there's another type of compassion, isn't it? He looks at the people of his day, and he understands that the teachers of that day were not pointing to the Messiah as found in the Old Testament. We're not directing them to see in Christ Jesus the one who was coming to do the Father's will. They were directing people to look at me, says Mr. Pharisee. Look at how I live. This is how you should live if you ever want to have a chance to enter life in heaven. These religious leaders were pointing people in the wrong direction. They're leading them down dead-end roads. Jesus knew that, and his heart ached for the crowds. Here's a question for us. Does our heart ache for the lost? As we live on this earth, we know that there are certain religions which have that veneer of Christianity, but when you investigate and look at their teachings, they do not direct their people to faith, to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior from sin. They don't say He's the only way. They point them in other directions. Does our heart ache for those people who are going to end up in hell? Or what about the individual around us, whether it's a family member or whether it's a neighbor or a co-worker or a friend? What about those people who maybe give you that impression they plain simply don't care about Jesus Christ? They don't care about everlasting life. They're just looking to have fun and enjoy themselves in the here and the now. Does your heart ache for that individual? As you listen to that question, and I'm asking that question of myself as well, I think each one of us would have to say that there have been times when we could have cared less about that individual. Why do I want to get involved in the life of another person who doesn't want to have anything to do with Jesus Christ? You should see my schedule. I have a lot of to-dos, a lot of things I need to do. You know, sometimes if we become involved with those who don't want to have anything to do with Christianity, well, they're not living a lifestyle of which I approve. They may have a different philosophy on life, and it's just going to get messy if I get involved. So I just think I'd rather not get involved. When we make that honest confession, when we realize that that mission heart which Christ had isn't always our heart, and we don't display it in compassionate acts, in speaking the word, then Lord, bless us to sincerely repent. To repent of that sin. Lead me to make that confession, Lord. But then, Lord, remind me, as we heard again this morning, that sin, and all my sins have been paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ. As I hear that again, and as I am reminded that through Christ my every sin is paid for, then, Lord, lead me to be an answer to the prayer which you spoke. Remember at the end of our text, Jesus shares these words with the disciples. He says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest will send out workers into his harvest field." We understand that saving the world, that was just what Jesus Christ did. That's only what he could do. No one else. But telling people what Christ has done, the Lord says, pray for workers. And sometimes we think, yep, I'll pray for workers. Let's send more teachers and pastors and staff ministers. Let's get them out. But Jesus is also saying, brothers and sisters, We're the workers. We are the witnesses. We are the ones who have opportunities galore to proclaim this message of salvation. One of the blessings I have as home mission administrator is receiving reports from our mission congregations and hearing the blessings of what are taking place as the gospel is being proclaimed. Just this past August 15th, we had a little deadline for our missions to send in reports. And it's very heartwarming to hear those reports. And I'm just going to highlight two of those reports. One of our churches dedicated its worship facility in August of 2018. 1 year later, that congregation has been blessed to have 26 baptisms, 7 adults, 13 children, and 7 infants. That church also has seen 14 adults who have been confirmed, gone through the adult confirmation classes, and they have 17 in a current class. Give thanks that God's word is being proclaimed. We have a Hispanic ministry in Phoenix, Arizona, where this April 16 youth were confirmed. And they've had 7 adults confirmed, and I don't recall how many baptisms that there were. But this is the aim of our mission churches, to proclaim Jesus Christ, to tell more people what he has done. Over the last 10 years, our church body has been blessed to open 55 new missions where God's word is being proclaimed. We also are active with cross-cultural people group ministry. We have Hmong ministry, where Hmong men have been trained to be pastors. We have 5 locations with a 6th pastor serving, active, where they're working with the Hmong people. Today, there are 19 locations where Spanish is the worship language, close to 1,900 gathering in worship. We have a number of other people group ministries. As I think of that, there's a gentleman named Chung Wang, a Chinese man, who connected with our mission in Vancouver, British Columbia. When he first connected with that mission congregation, he was a Buddhist. He told the pastor, our mission pastor, he told him that he and his Buddhist friends literally laughed at Christians because of their naive beliefs. The pastor was patient with him. He gave him a Bible, said, "Please read it." The gentleman did. The Holy Spirit worked. And now Chung is a child of God, looking forward to life everlasting in heaven. And he told the pastor, "I don't laugh at Christians anymore, but my friends still laugh at me." Isn't it interesting? Not only has God blessed him to be a member of his kingdom, but Chung has been studying to be a pastor and to start a Chinese ministry north of Vancouver. As I share these stories, I don't want to make our congregations, as I go around, to feel that there's something wrong with their ministry if they don't see all of these blessings. That's not my intent. Nor do I want to say that every mission church within Wisconsin Synod is blossoming and blooming. No, there are times when missions struggle and there are times when missions do close. But I do want you to hear and to rejoice with me in what God is doing as his word is being proclaimed. You see, I think sometimes as we live in the culture and climate of our country, that we're hearing the people out there saying to Christians, you guys be quiet. You stay quiet. You can come Sundays and have your worship service, but don't bring your message out into the day-to-day world. And sometimes we might even think to ourselves, maybe it is a little safer if the name of Christ isn't mentioned from our lips. Then Satan can get active and he can start whispering in our ear and saying, look how Christianity is being treated, and is it really, is God's Word still powerful? Well, the good news, brothers and sisters, God's Word and the promises He makes to bless the proclamation of His Word is still taking place. Using people like you and me, mission members and mission pastors, God's Word is going out and people are being brought to faith and publicly professing their faith that Jesus Christ is their Savior from sin. Rejoice with me in what the Lord continues to do. As we think of what the Lord has done, you and I, we are blessed. God has worked in our heart. We know what that means. Sins forgiven. We can live at peace with God Almighty. We look forward to life in heaven. Until that day, God bless us, you and me. God bless us to take this word and to share it with others so that more people can rejoice with us, so that more people can proclaim Jesus Christ, He is my Savior from sin, so that more people can look forward to join with us in praising Jesus in heaven. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.